The world is a vampire.
The Raven Effect with pro wrestling superstar Raven.
A cornucopia of stupidity masquerading as a podcast.
Critics have hailed it as everything from,
huh? Who's this Raven jerk?
And if you want clever discourse, nonsensical banter, and incessant rambling, well, this is the show for you. Ladies, gentlemen, idiots, floozies, and reprobates, this is Raven.
Hello and welcome to the Raven Effect Podcast. And yes, we don't talk about wrestling here because we're wrestling adjacent. We're a wrestling adjacent podcast. But my flunky sidekick, henchman, Coolies. Coolies is a bad term. That was a name.
But wait a minute. Who's your flunky sidekick?
That was a bad name for Chinese people back in the day.
Who's your flunky sidekick?
You guys.
Well, you only said singular, so I was curious.
Sidekicks, flunkies, sidekicks.
Oh, okay.
Henchmen. Anyway, these guys want to talk about Punk being fired, so we will listen to the conversation, and I will raise my verdict whether it was justified or not.
Well, I'd also like to say...
So it is written, so it shall come to pass.
Even though we are wrestling adjacent, that we did spend a good 8 minutes almost talking about wrestling and referees and stuff, and because I want to get this on the air, is that Raven put over the great John Finnegan, former ECW head referee, quite strongly...
John Finnegan knows that. I think he's one of my all-time favorite referees. Maybe my all-time favorite. Yeah, I think he is my all-time favorite.
And Phoenix, see if you can find out what he does at the ballpark. So I can, assuming that they play. Because I was looking at the weather. I'm supposed to go to the game tomorrow. It might there might be
in Philly
thunderstorm. Yeah, I'm supposed to go to the game tomorrow night in Philly.
Where are you now?
They're playing. You're not even going to call Feeney and ask him to go?
I texted him last week.
I can't do shit on Fridays. I was going to take my dad Monday for Phillies Braves, but it's like the tickets, there's nothing good available. And when I looked the one time, there wasn't even any two seats together, and it sucked. What am I looking? Oh, John.
I haven't bought them yet because, like I said, when I was looking at the weather, it might be thunder. And like, we're literally coming in.
Why are you going to drive why are you going to drive from Boston to Philly just for a baseball game?
Well, nah, flying to Philly, going to go to the ball game, and then taking the train to DC. I'm going to see a band on Saturday night. And then, in theory, go to the game in D.C. on Sunday and then come back.
Is your quotation marks girlfriend going with you?
Yes.
Can we say with your girlfriend?
Well, I mean, how has that been referred to previously?
Can we refer to her? Can we refer to her in her new status?
I don't know what you're talking about. It's still we're still having an illicit affair that nobody knows about.
I thought you were engaged.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about. It must have been somebody else's pictures who was sent to me of the engagement.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't. There's a lot of people at the baseball game. They'll verify this storyline.
I can't find what Finnegan does for the Phillies, but I can tell you this, what a gentleman he is and a scholar. So there's a benefit in November for a friend of mine who has
cancer. Jim Molyneux, he used to get us free tickets. He used to bring us in free into the Camden
the Tweeter or whatever it was. Yeah,
the Camden, what's the concert venue?
It's Susquehanna Bank Center now, I think. It used to be Tweeter Tweeter Center.
Was it? What was it before that?
It started as Tweeter Center.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
Past tense of Tweeter's twat.
The Twatter Center.
Oh boy.
But anyway, I asked because there's a benefit coming up for a friend of mine.
Anyway, Jim Molyneux, he used to.
Why does Raven want to stomp on my benefit thing?
Quit talking while I'm interrupting.
the guy's got cancer. Can I finish?
he'll have it in when I'm done.
That's true.
No, I'm sorry, your friend has cancer. No. But anyway, Molyneux used to get us in free into the. And we used to get to sit in the VIP section for free. At the Camden, whatever, and see all the concerts. I even went to see Neil Young, right? Like, I walked out of surgery after I had my ankle surgery. I hobbled out of the surgery under crutches, and we went straight to the Neil Young concert.
Phenomenal.
There's a good story. There's a good story by that, about that surgery too. I'll tell you after you tell your story, Feeney.
No, I just wanted to say that there's a benefit for a friend of mine in November that, you know, he has cancer and
I'm sorry.
You know how at benefits they'll do the raffles and all that shit. So of course I try to use the very few little connections I do have, try to get something from WWE, AEW, whatever. But
go
I
drop
John,
some names. Go ahead, drop some names.
No, I'm not gonna drop any names. I was gonna say I don't know John Finnegan that well, but I know him from shows and I've spoken to him and stuff, and we're friends on Facebook. We've interacted a little. And I knew he worked for the Phillies, so I explained the situation to him, and he immediately gave me someone's contact info with the Phillies to contact about getting some kind of something to raffle or tickets or jerseys or a bass, whatever they do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he just did it without any hesitation. So John's a great guy.
Why didn't you contact me on that?
For the Phillies?
No, for the raffle, for your friend's cancer treatment.
I don't know. Well, I'm not done yet. I have a whole list.
All right, consider yourself contacted now, Raven.
I'll send you some stuff.
Okay, cool. Excellent.
Remind me during the week. Or actually, get it. Remind me before Wednesday, because Wednesday is my surgery.
Okay.
You nervous or what?
Yeah, terrified.
Are you really?
Yeah, because last time I had my knee and my shoulder replaced, the other shoulder, I was in agony. Like, they usually send you home same day. I was in the hospital for like a week.
So what do you do? What are you getting done this time? Is it a knee or a hip?
My shoulder.
Oh, you're doing your shoulder.
I had my knees done last year. Last year was my knees. That's old business.
Oh. This is my shoulder. I thought you were getting the other knee done.
No, I already had the other knee done. Now I'm getting the other shoulder done. No, I'm pretty hip as it is.
Yeah, he's hip.
He's still pretty hip. Yeah.
He does speak jive, too.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. I speak jive.
Brother was on. Didn't trip.
The folks be laid to the bone and the folks be freaking.
Raven's going to be moving around better than either one of us.
Probably, yeah.
You know?
Probably.
What does this mean? What does this mean for the scheduling of the Raven Effect?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, we're going to have to do I'll probably just take a – I don't know. How's that for an answer? We're going to do the show Thursday. Wednesday's the surgery, so we're not doing a show Thursday. So we need to do a show probably Monday.
Okay. Well, Rich, are you away or what's going on there?
No, I can
be
do
on Monday. Monday?
Yeah, okay. I can do Monday.
Like right. Monday, like 4 o'clock or something.
We can do that. Or Feeny and I can stitch together a best of.
Yeah. Last one didn't do so well.
Did we ever do one?
No, we've never done a best of. I've only missed that one episode.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm like, what's that guy's name that never missed a lot of shows?
Lou Gehrig?
Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, Cal Ripken Jr. I'm like Cal Ripken Jr. Except I don't have the same name, and I don't play baseball.
Are you going to get Wally Pipped in this instance, or what?
Oh, actually, no, I'm not like him, because I missed the game.
Yeah.
We could, even though I'm saying it now, so it ruins it, we could just surprise everyone out of nowhere, put out me, Rich, and Disco, and just 1 week only the Disco Effect.
Good.
No. No, we don't want to sink the ratings worse than they are.
He says things sometimes, and all I do is envision the wrestling website headlines. Like he suggested a couple weeks ago, a Japanese tag team should be called.
Oh, do Pearl Harbor. Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah,
he just says shit just to say it, doesn't he?
No, I think it doesn't occur to him that's bad. That's not good anymore. And I said it. I'm like, I'm going to have to censor that. He's like, what? Why? You know, every now and then.
Well, I mean he's trying to be controversial.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I think he's being edgelordy.
He just wants attention.
Yeah.
He's like that. He needs the attention. You know what? He's an only child. That explains it.
You know, what's funny, like this stuff that you can't you can't use that anymore in wrestling. Hey, Pearl Harbor. You know what I mean?
It's a historical event.
Yeah, but, you know.
But. What are you saying, Rich? I can't refer to 9/11 anymore either.
Then again, he 9/11'd them.
A 9/11.
I wouldn't call a tag team 9/11 then.
I don't think that'd go over very well either.
Why not? Why can't you say he 9/11'd them?
I miss the old evil foreign heels. You know?
Oh, of course, yeah. But I mean,
can't do that anymore. Remember Muhammad Hassan? That was brilliant.
What's his Sheik Adnan LKC just passed away.
He did.
You see that? Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, he wrestled as an Indian first.
He did, yeah. Billy White Cloud or something, right?
White Wolf.
Billy White Wolf. Yeah. Yep.
That's so funny. That he was an Iranian and he was already in and he worked as an Indian. Like instead of just going right to be a heel Iranian.
Right. Yeah. And then he was an Iranian.
They were still friendly at that point to us.
He portrayed an Iraqi. I don't know. Whose side
when did he start?
On?
When did he start? Let's find that out.
I've never seen him
wrestle. Let's get a videotape. Let's get some footage of him making a comeback. I want to see if he'd go into war dance like Chief J Strongbow did.
Well, he was actually an Italian guy, wasn't he? Chief J Strongbow?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So he was actually an Iraqi, okay.
Oh, an Iraqi, not an Iranian.
He started wrestling in 1959. So what, you want to see him fire up as Billy White Wolf?
Yeah. Yes. So he was like a national champion wrestler, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah, he was a legit wrestler. Yep. He was, and apparently was actually friends with Saddam Hussein. He went to high school with him.
That's right. I remember reading that.
Yep. Which made the Hulk Hogan, the Sergeant Slaughter heel turn even more. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow. In 1971, he defeated Andre the Giant in a stadium in Baghdad.
Yep.
Under the auspices of his former friend at high school, Saddam Hussein.
Well, because
I never heard.
How many people were there for that?
I mean, I was just thinking, is that a real story? Or is that like someone Wikipedia, some bullshit?
No, and I read the same thing that he beat Andre in three fall, you know, is it two out of three falls or whatever, but he
Andre would do the job for him anybody back then.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the thing, but it was something like, you know, I guess they
he won
for safety or something, right? They didn't want Andre to get
yeah, he actually beat him in two straight falls in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were worried about his safety.
Because Saddam showed Adnan a golden handgun and promised that if Andre hurt Adnan, he would shoot him.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
How many people were at the show?
It doesn't say. I don't.
Imagine getting your hands on that tape.
January 6, 1971 was the 50th anniversary of the formation of the Iraqi Army. It wasn't a stadium. But I'm not getting a number.
Saddam Hussein hadn't taken over yet then, had he?
I believe he
would. Oh, he must have. Yeah.
No, he was in charge of the I saw some special on him. So I think it was an ABC after school special. maybe it wasn't.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see when he assumed power. Prime Minister, 79 to 71.
Oh, so he might have been he might have been a general already or something.
Yeah. Or maybe the head of the head of the.
Were they like neighbors? Were they like would they be like a sitcom? Saddam Hussein.
They went on double dates back in the day. And
wow, I don't know if this is going to give us what we're looking for, but listen to this match: Andre, Billy White Wolf, and Chief J Strongbow versus the Executioners and Bruiser Brody.
Wow.
But I don't know what that's going to show us in ability. I can't really there are like five clips of him and three of them are Ken Patera breaking his neck apparently. So
when did Ken Patera break his neck? That wasn't very nice.
By the way, according to
1977,
Wikipedia, 66 to 79, he was the assistant secretary of the regional command. So there you go.
Billy White Wolf.
Yeah. No, Saddam.
Sheik Adnan LKC started working at 59.
That's what it says, yeah.
Now, he was in world class too, wasn't he? I remember him in the AWA, but did he do world class as well?
I think he was there as that.
Or am I thinking of a different, you know, Arab character?
I'm trying. So that's Backlund. That's him.
That's Johnny Rods.
Oh, well, then the other guy. That's
No, it's him. No,
that's
it is him.
Oh, he just.
Look at him sell. Oh, no.
Nah, he's a baby face here. I think that's got to be him then. Because it's Backlund.
Yeah, with the hair. Yeah, that's him.
That where? Looks like him. Throwing right the punch?
There. No, yeah, firing up.
That's Chief J Strongbow. Look at him. Look at him. War dance. Chief J Strongbow. Oh, look at him.
So that's him.
Okay, all right. That's him on the yeah. Waiting to get tagged in, right?
So he was just in the ring.
Yeah. But there's no executioners in this.
No, this is a different one. That's him. Really that's him. He just threw the chop.
That was him just shooting the guy with the tag in. Yeah. Who's the guy heel taking the bump? Was that?
That's Patera right there, right?
So it's Baron Von Raschke, Johnny Roz, and Gas.
I was right. It's Johnny Roz.
Gilbert. Yeah.
That wasn't Patera in there?
No, Patera's not in this.
Oh. Who's the third guy?
Gashouse Gilbert.
Who's that?
I don't know.
That's a WWE.
Look at these guys moving.
So in the red tights there, that's Gashouse Gilbert. Gashouse? Why would they call him that?
Oh.
I don't think they called the gas back. That was before the gas.
Oh, okay. 1977? Yeah, I guess so.
What building do you think that's in?
I mean, the gas was available, though. I don't think they called it the gas, though.
So that's Chief J again.
Chief J Strongbow is so awesome.
Let's get us some Billy White Wolf. Why isn't he?
Look at him. Do you see him just back and sell his way into the guy's arms?
Yeah. Where do you think that is? Hamburg or Poughkeepsie or what?
Probably Hamburg.
You see that?
Yeah. Genius. Now he's going to fire up. There's Gashouse Gilbert.
Who is Gashouse Gilbert?
Here comes Billy.
I'm going to look him up.
It's a big chop.
This is why you need Patreon.
I like the chops in the old days.
Wow. No one does that anymore.
I never got an old school chop. Flair changed the chop business and made it so it's hurt everybody.
Doug Gilbert was known as Gashouse Gilbert, Doug Lindsay, Destroyer, Mr. Lowe, Professional, Redbeard,
Doug Gilbert.
Spoiler number one, and Super Inferno number one.
That's not Doug Gilbert.
Super Inferno. All right, well, nobody can see this.
We've never seen the face of Doug Gashouse. Well, get us a Billy White Wolf singles match.
I'm trying. All I saw was this, the other six man, and then him getting smoked by Ken Patera a couple of times for some reason.
You suck.
What? I don't control YouTube. You know what I mean?
Sure you do. The internet has everything.
Yeah.
Why don't you have any TV presence on this show, Rich? Where's your camera at?
Well, you know, it's difficult times.
I can't find it, but we could watch Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman versus Mark Jindrak versus Alex Wright and Disco.
No.
2000.
Who am I thinking of that WCCW, like World Class? Did like the same type of gimmick. What was his name? I can't think of his name now.
Oh, God damn. Come on. What was his? He had Destruction Inc. was his group, right?
Yeah.
Name? Oh, Skandar Akbar.
Skandar Akbar. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Spandex Snack Bar. I was a member of Devastation Incorporated on an indie show one time.
What was that like?
I just talked because
Skandar Akbar managed me. So I go, I guess I'm a manager, member of Devastation Incorporated. He goes, yep.
That's
so
awesome.
So it was officially approved.
Akbar's Army in Mid-South.
It was something I remember hearing or reading about that. Maybe it was Mick's book because it was three of the guys and it all became future stars. And it was like you, Foley, and somebody else. For some reason, I'm thinking Austin, but I don't think that's right.
And Global?
Yeah.
That was me, Foley, Rip Rogers, Muckham Singh, somebody else were in our group.
Wasn't Balls Mahoney a Singh at one point?
A Buddha Singh or something. And he was Santa Claus, the evil Santa Claus. They should have called him Crab Claus.
I didn't realize this. In 1994, Akbar briefly managed Kevin Von Erich. As a baby face.
Akbar turned face?
Huh?
Akbar turned face?
And Global in 94 said, I'm reading this here, Akbar briefly managed Kevin Von Erich as a fan favorite. Eventually, though, he turned on Von Erich only weeks before Von Erich decided to retire for good.
Take that, you stupid Von Erich.
He was actually from Lebanon, I think.
Who? Kevin Von Erich?
Oh. Yeah, Kevin Von Erich. Skandar Akbar. He's from Lebanon.
Lebanon, Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Fantastic town.
Feeny, why did you black out your screen? Now I'm the only one they can look at.
Is he, Feeny, are you pulling an SRS or what are you doing?
What's an SRS?
Look, he muted himself too.
What's an SRS?
I don't want to say.
Yeah, because if I don't mute, you can hear me snorting. No, I had to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I had to tell someone I was recording. It was a phone call. Oops, sorry, my mic's all wonky.
That was the I'm making fun of the video that we showed you.
Well, what's an SRS stand for?
A wrestling journalist.
SRS.
Remember we looked at it last. Now I'm rubbing my nose. Hang on. Yeah, we're like,
wait, what's happening in this video, Raven? Remember we showed you that?
Yeah, the guy that bent over his desk, and then in the reflection, it looked like he was.
Yeah.
What does SRS stand for?
Sean Ross Sapp. Yeah, that's Sean Ross Sapp. Yeah.
What's it say?
Sean Ross Sapp.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great example of like, you can make money in wrestling with never having wrestled. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. And you can't prove, and Fina, what about you?
Well, but I don't, like, I'm saying,
you'll make money? Sapp,
that's Sean the thing. Sapp, Fina doesn't make money doing this.
No, Sapp probably makes like, I don't know. I have to look at how many pages.
Does he own Fightful?
He definitely makes almost mid six figures, I would say, Raven. Something like that.
He owns Fightful, right?
Yeah, he owns Fightful. I'm saying before he pays out, because he does have employees and other personalities. But right. I think like overall, Fightful on Patreon probably makes close to mid six figures.
And you know, it's interesting, and I'm not, he's get scoops and he seems like he knows what he's talking about. But it's interesting that you can just kind of create some, you know, just go out there and you're an expert, right? Like, I think he actually does have an MMA background or something, but there's a lot of people that go out there and they're espousing on this and that and the other thing about wrestling, and they've never
reported on MMA first, I think.
I think he actually competed, well, not at like a high level, but I think he competed a little bit too.
Trained, competed. Yeah.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Raven, you falling asleep? What's happening there?
I'm trying to find some footage of a match. Billy White.
When we started the program, we were discussing all the recent nonsense going on at AEW, and Raven said, "Well, like, let's save that for the show. Should we pick that up here while he's looking for?"
Well, video? we were talking about, you know, obviously the Punk firing and how it affected Collision's ratings, which it took a big dive after that announcement was made, and the crowd booing him and stuff like that. We mentioned, and I said I felt bad for him. And what I meant was,
I didn't feel bad.
Right. And so now you can counterpoint me. But sure. The reason I feel bad is that, you know, I think he came into this with the best intentions. Like, he loves wrestling. He's, you know, watched it forever. He used to travel to Philly for ECW shows. You know, he did this and that. He's an accomplished sports executive with a soccer team and an NFL. You know, he's obviously a bright guy. This is Tony Khan. And, you know, he was one of those kids and teenagers that followed it close, did their own fantasy booking. You know, they had the wrestling simulator games where you book and stuff, and actually you're trying for ratings and attendance and all that. I know for a fact he did that. And this is probably like partially.
Hey, what did he do?
They have wrestling booker simulator games where you sign talent, book cards, deal with backstage fights, you know, stuff like that. And
so he's doing it in real life.
That's what I think. Yeah. So this is probably just his dream was always to book a company. And B, I think he really wanted to create a company and a product that the fans would love. Like, whatever he envisioned wrestling was missing. All right, I'm going to bring this to them since WWE is the only game in town. You know, he put money in it. He worked with JR and Jericho to start, which, you know, that's too, you know, how can you do any better than that? Mm-hmm. And he got the Bucks and Kenny and all involved. And I just think he had the best intentions of having this great product, and all the fans were going to love it.
No, he didn't start with Jericho and JR. He started with the Bucks and Omega.
Yeah, publicly, but behind the scenes, JR and Jericho were pretty involved, you know? I think JR met him first, actually. But, I feel bad, you know? Now he's out and the whole building's booing him, and he gets so much shit on Twitter and online, and you know, people making fun of him or calling him a dork or, you know, insinuating he has drug problems or all this shit. Like, I guess that's what you get. And maybe he was used to it from being a GM for major sports teams. But to me, I feel bad. I feel like he came in, he really thought he was going to make wrestling better and everyone was going to embrace it. Well, and it's not what happened.
Yeah, but didn't he, from what I heard, that the part of the reason Cody Rhodes left was because he stopped taking input?
Cody said stuff like that, similar statements. Yeah. But no one's really ever gotten a story on that. It sounds like Cody stopped getting along with the other guys, Bucks and Omega. They were all EVPs.
So maybe it's Bucks and Omega who are the bad guys.
That is certainly possible.
Well, I thought they were
baby faces.
Well, you know, let me read you something.
Who's the heel in all this? I want to know who the heel is.
Well, listen, let me say,
I don't want to read this after you respond.
I agree with you in the fact that, yes, you know, best intentions, et cetera, that's great, right?
What, et cetera, et cetera? That's great.
If you look at the football team or the soccer team, he's not the heavy.
No, he doesn't have a stats guy.
That's to me, and again, I know people there, but I don't know the inner workings of how that place is, but it seems like he's the guy that's in theory in charge, but very much like indie wrestling of the past 10, 15 years, nobody wants to tell anybody, no, you can't do that. No, I want, you know what I mean? Outwardly, that's what it looks like.
What? Okay.
Well, let's take this back a little bit. So I don't think, you know, Raven doesn't follow it. So let me explain to
this
him
is
what,
way
what happened.
Too, this is so let adjacent. Me, it's on the nose. This is a hat on a hat.
Okay.
Yeah, the old hat on a hat.
Punk came back from injury after his fight with the Bucks and all that, right? So they
got injured in a fight with the Bucks?
No, he got injured in the match with Moxley, and then he got another fight after the injury.
Who won the fight? Was it a fist fight?
Yeah, it was Punk and Ace Steel versus the Bucks and Kenny, I guess.
It wasn't a singles match?
The dog's the one that cut the worst, from what I heard.
Yeah, Larry got his teeth knocked out or something.
Who did? Who's the dog?
The dog, Larry the dog.
Yeah, Punk's dog.
And Ace Steel bit Kenny Omega, too, so it's not.
I think.
Yeah. And he threw a chair at somebody. Like Ace Steel went full street fight, you know? He went full bar fight in there. But so that's the previous incident. A year later-ish, Punk comes back. They're going to start this new show on Saturdays called Collision. The idea is we'll keep the elite guys, Omega and the Bucks, on Wednesday. Punk's going to go to Saturday's show, and we're kind of going to give him carte blanche, if you will, on who he wants on the show and all that. They gave him a lot of stroke. So there was a match where Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, Luke Perry's kid, is a wrestler. I don't know how much Raven knows about that. He wanted to go through glass or something in this backstage vignette. And Punk, who had some power on that show, said, no, we don't do that shit on Collision. That's dumb. It's risky. And I think you're doing it so you can, you know, claim injury and take next week off, something like that. So Jungle Boy wasn't allowed to use the glass. So fast forward a few weeks later, at the big fucking pay-per-view in London at Wembley with 89,000 people, whatever, biggest show in AEW's history. On a pre-show match, Jungle Boy Jack Perry is in a match and he gets thrown into a windshield. I don't even remember why there was a car there. I didn't really watch the whole thing. He hits the windshield, he crawls off and he's selling his back, but then the camera's focused on him. He looks into the camera and he goes, you know, that was real glass, cry me a river. Which I don't know why he would do that, but it was obviously a reference to Punk having a problem with the glass. So then Jungle Boy goes backstage. Punk hits in his face. They get into a fight.
But okay. Now Punk,
that's why the fight happened.
Punk was already in Gorilla because his match.
He's in the next match,
right?
Yeah. So that's why the fight happened, Raven. He took a shot at Punk on TV based on a ruling that was made against him.
Why would he break character?
I don't know.
Because he felt like he could. Because there's nobody telling guys that you can't fucking do that. You can't
do this. So he's the heel then.
You can't do this indie bullshit here.
I want this nice and black and white like pro wrestling. So I want to know who the heel is. Even though it's really like a shades of gray.
Feeny, do you disagree with me that there's nobody there that is, you can't fucking do this shit. We're not doing this indie fucking
bullshit. Well, I just gave you an example though. They told Jack Perry he couldn't use glass in that segment because it was stupid. So there is some kind of quality control somewhere.
But if it's Punk telling him and Punk doesn't have anybody backing him up,
Punk was instructed to tell him.
The buck stops at Tony.
But if Punk was
no, the,
Punk,
the Bucks. If, I thought the Bucks were in a different show.
If Jungle Boy thought for half a second that he was going to be in any serious trouble, you wouldn't do that shit at WWE unless you.
Well, he might be in serious trouble.
Well, but I'm saying,
when were they in Wembley?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago Saturday or some shit.
So they get in a fist fight, and what happens?
They fired.
Okay. Paul. Now here's the part of it. Here's the rumor part of it. So they get into the fight. And it's a scrap, and Punk has him in like a front face lock, and I guess they knocked some shit over, and like they knocked over some of the monitors, and Tony Khan was right there, the owner. So, and Samoa Joe is there because he's wrestling Punk in the next match. So the fight gets broken up, and the rumors are that Punk either flipped out at Tony, or he may have even grabbed him physically. Okay, that's a rumor. I just want to make that clear.
Okay, and Punk's the heel now.
Okay, so that's
the heel is rotating around this fight.
Yeah, it is.
So that's why Tony's statement was like, I felt in personal danger, blah, blah, blah. Cause supposedly Punk, you know, may have physically gotten aggressive with Tony, you know, and so then he was fired 6 days later or whatever. So now I think we kind of got the whole thing, you know.
That's it. You know, so basically we don't know what happened.
It's all rumors. But enough is leaked out from Tony, for Tony going on Collision and then putting out the statement they put out as well,
which is what,
right? Basically saying he was in fear of his life. And he'd never been more scared. And that's not what we want here. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Did Punk do his match?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about the thing that I heard that Punk got fired before his match?
No.
Well, he threatened. He yelled that he wanted to quit, and he hated it there or something. Again, supposedly. But Joe,
the guys on the MMA podcast I was listening to, they were at a show, and then Khan came out and announced or something.
Yeah, but that was 6 days later.
Yeah,
that was in Chicago. This whole thing happened in London.
No, I'm saying in Chicago, he got fired, though.
It was right before the Chicago show, right? Right. Like the day before the pay-per-view.
Yes, that Tony came out and made that.
The next pay-per-view, not the
Tony came out and made that announcement in Chicago, but it was 6 days later.
Are they having pay-per-views every 6 days?
Pretty much.
Something weird happened where the all-in show in London, which got, like I said, the 89,000 tickets or 85, whatever it was, wasn't initially supposed to be a pay-per-view. They wanted to stream it through something, whether it was HBO on Max. I can't remember, but somehow it didn't work out. So they had to make it a pay-per-view. And then they already had All Out scheduled in Chicago the week later. So it was kind of just a weird thing.
Is Jericho still with the company?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And doing fine, fine work.
How old is Jericho now?
51 or something. 51 or 52?
Yeah, he's got to be up there. So I'll be
52.
I'll be 59 next week. No, now tomorrow. I'll be 59 in 2.5 hours.
You will not.
Yeah, really? I will.
I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Well, happy birthday.
It's not my birthday yet. Well, I refuse to accept it. I refuse to accept it.
Preemptively wishing you a happy birthday.
I'll accept that.
Listen, my two cents is this. Tony might be a great booker, might have great ideas, et cetera, et cetera. Don't put yourself in the position. If you don't have it in you to be the bad guy, then don't put yourself. Have somebody that's going to lay down the law and that's going to carry that shit out for you underneath you.
Hire. No, what you need to do is you need to hire a goat, a killer goat.
Yeah, someone said a heavy or a, you know, whatever.
No, I mean an actual goat, and then just stick the goat on people.
Well, you think about the Jaguars. Right? He's not the guy.
No, I don't care about Jaguars. We're talking about goats.
He's not the guy demoting players. There's a GM and there's a coach. And then there's position coaches. He's not the guy making those decisions. And to me, you would apply the same thing to the wrestling company. I don't know why.
He's like Moneyball. All the statistical shit that Moneyball brought about or first made clear.
I never saw Moneyball.
He's got an analytics company with a bunch of guys from Harvard or something, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. But I'm saying, but Rich, I don't think you can say don't put yourself in that position because he just happened to be there in Gorilla when there was a goddamn fight that fell into his lap. That wasn't something that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but well, and again, we don't know.
Well, was it in his lap or was he standing?
We don't know because we're not there. But is there somebody beneath him that's in charge that can hire, fire, discipline?
Christopher Daniels is the head of talent relations.
Okay. Well, if you were in Jungle Boy's spot and you had
Now, wait,
if you know that you're going to, if you go out there and do that, you're going to get your ass fired, right?
Yeah, I don't know why he felt the need to strike back that way. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you would handle that and turn, you would handle it differently. You wouldn't go out on TV and do that unless you thought you could get away with it, unless you thought there weren't going to be any real repercussions.
Because
outwardly, and we could be completely wrong on this.
Well, that's one of the biggest.
Outwardly, that's what it looks like to me and to a lot of fans.
What did it look like?
Exactly fucking running anything.
What did it look like? Like, what did he actually say on camera?
That's real glass. Cry me a river.
So he just stopped selling?
Yes. Well, I mean, go back to the original locker room fight with Adam Page going out there and basically fucking, going into business for himself.
I think framed like Punk's the hothead Raven, but it also there's a little bit of it where he's been needled. I think, so
unless all of this is just some elaborate fucking work, which
it's
not, but my point is you go back to that incident from a year before, you wouldn't ever think of doing that at WWE, for example, because you know, you get your ass fucking fired.
But listen to this wrinkle too, because this wasn't mentioned now that we brought up Dana.
Wait, Punk has wrinkles?
Yeah.
He's too young for wrinkles.
He represents his age well,
He's only like he's got to be early 40s, didn't he?
It's like 40.
He's 43 next month 43. Or something. 44.
Okay. And how old's Jericho?
50. What did we say? 52.
Yeah.
Punk
is 44.
Okay. But listen to this. And then,
I know we
don't want to talk about the whole show, but I just wanted to throw this wrinkle in there.
Show's almost over. Holy shit.
Chris Daniels is the head of talent relations, right? Right. Now, I thought
Tony Schiavone was involved in that.
He's got a talent position, but he's not the head of talent relations. Okay. Chris Daniels was involved in the original fight with the Elite. Now, it said he was in there breaking it up or whatever. Whatever happened left a bad taste in Punk's mouth, because now Punk was working on AEW Collision on Saturdays, and who wasn't allowed at those shows per CM Punk?
Christopher Daniels.
Yes. Right. Punk had the head of talent relations kicked out of a show. I mean, how great is that?
By the way, according to PW Insider today, Ace Steel has been released by AEW.
Well, yeah, but what's his point without Punk there,
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it is kind of,
Well, what is the take on Twitter? Is Punk the heel or the babyface?
I'd say it's almost 50-50. That you got Punk haters and you got Tony Khan and the Elite haters and Jack Perry haters, I think
they're all drinking their haterade.
Yeah.
What about from SNL? Bill Hader.
I think Bill Hader's on Jungle Boy's side.
Bill Hader's hilarious.
But I don't know what happened, because before he came to AEW, they all talked about him a lot. The Bucks were like, we're in contact with him. We need him here. It's going to be great. And then it just went sour. I don't know what exactly happened. But I mean, Raven, you've said the dude always had strong opinions about his character and what he wanted to do.
He's volatile and he's stubborn. Like, you know that going into it, don't you?
I just thought he did good stuff. And as my enjoyment of wrestling has waned, I would usually go out of my way to watch what he was doing, even on this run. I thought he was still doing good stuff.
I would say that he's very, very, very fucking talented, but I haven't watched anything since, in 10 years of his. I haven't seen any of the new stuff. So on the basis of what I've seen, I know nothing.
But it's funny, because even if, when you worked with Ring of Honor and in England and all the and TNA, and he was, opinionated and I don't know if stubborn is the right word, but he was opinionated back then and strong willed. Dude, he was only in the business for like 3 years when you worked with him, three, four, two, something like that.
Three, four, two?
Between two and four, let's say.
What about two and five?
Which doesn't include his years in backyard wrestling, because if it did include that, then I'm also a wrestling veteran, because I was in backyard wrestling for a few years myself.
You were in Baghdad wrestling?
Backyard, in the back. It was actually.
I thought you were in Baghdad wrestling with that down out Casey.
And then we got kicked out of the backyard, so we wrestled on a driveway with a futon mat to take bumps on. Very, very smart.
A professional futon mat?
Yeah, well, aren't they all?
I don't know.
They're not for fun and games.
Could be an amateur. an amateur futon mat.
I was joking around and I said something to my wife once about that because I had a futon, and you know, I guess all younger dudes have it at one point or another. And I said, you ever hook up with a guy like, and you're on his futon at his parents' house or whatever? And she laughed, and I'm like, come on, what were you thinking? You're too good for a futon, you know. But I guess not. I don't know.
Times are tough at the Feeney residence.
Let that be a lesson to the ladies that listen. You are all too good for a futon.
Yeah, the women that listen to this show are too pretty to be fucked from behind.
Whoa.
That's the greatest t-shirt I've ever seen. Greatest girl had a sweatshirt. She's out in some promotion out in like Portland. Mm-hmm. I forget her name. Really pretty. Huge mazungas, whatever they're called. Whatever boobs are called these days. And she had a shirt that said, I'm too pretty to be fucked from behind.
Classy. That's fucking awesome.
How great is that? And she was a girl wearing it.
Yeah, that's great.
That's the greatest t-shirt ever. You probably know her, Rich.
Yeah?
Because you work on the West Coast, in the Northeast, the Northwest Coast.
Usually I'm out there and I get into town, I do the show, and then I'm gone.
Hang on, let me show you a picture of her. I'll show you a picture of her. I think I can find a picture because I took a picture of her shirt. And now she probably has her head cut off in the picture, so it might be harder to guess who she is. Let's see. Under favorites, because it's one of my favorite t-shirts. So we're probably under favorites. If it's not under favorites, I have no idea where it is.
Then we're all fucked.
Yeah.
From behind?
No.
We're too pretty for that. How about this? How about this meme? We call our Christmas tree Amy Winehouse because it's only a matter of time before it dies and there's needles everywhere.
Oh, boy. Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's past out of date because she already did die. Too soon? Where is this t-shirt or sweatshirt? It's a sweatshirt. I don't know where the hell she got it. I can't remember. I don't know if I asked her. Where would you get something like that?
Maybe she had it printed for herself. Maybe she came up with that line. Maybe she's the inventor.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a picture of me. Here's a picture of me at a prop circle I found.
Higher. Higher. Oh, to the right.
I had to see a lot of white.
Higher.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Prop circle.
Wow.
You did that. You
stomped everything in a circle.
He got the International Harvester and just fucking did donuts.
I stomped a mud hole and then walked it dry. Where is this sweatshirt? Here's some chick I walked down the aisle. Some random stranger fan mail. There, her husband's a big mark. I walked her down the aisle for her wedding. Or no, maybe I did something at the wedding. I forget exactly.
Where'd Feeney go?
He had to go take care of something. I don't know. This show, he doesn't care about this show.
He doesn't care. He's too wrapped up in trying to be friends with Disco.
Oh, goodness gracious. Where is that shirt? Oh, this is aggravating me. You want to see the worst shirt? The greatest horrible shirt of all time?
Sure.
It's a shirt, for those at home, I'll explain it. It's a shirt of Giant Baba. Hang on. Oh, I'm out of camera range. It's a shirt of Giant Baba, but it's a cartoon drawing. It says Giant Baba, and it's got the ridiculous physique he has.
Yeah, he's got the little skinny arms. That, from afar, Feeney, doesn't that kind of look like the old WWF ice cream bar?
Yeah.
What do we want? A cure for Tourette's. When do we want it, cunt?
Yeah.
That's a great catchphrase. I wanted to use that as my catchphrase.
I got booted for a second there. Did you show the shirt? Because I want to see the shirt.
Not yet. Damn. Here, this is, if I had a dollar for every time I got distracted, I wish I had some ice cream. That's a good catchphrase. I'm going to use that for a catchphrase. No, I'm not going to use that one. That'll get me booted. Oh, yeah, I found a shirt. Hold on. Wait. This is also cool. These are my favorite photos. This guy, He walked up with a sign. The homeless guy said, 16 wives, 7 hungry dogs, 3 thin cats, 25 kids, and still horny. Please help with loose change. So I gave him some loose change, I think.
Nice. How much?
Here's a picture of the world's largest teapot.
Where's that?
Oh, Chester, West Virginia somewhere.
Chester, PA?
It's definitely not.
Chester, West Virginia.
No. It's definitely not short and stout.
Okay, so I don't have a picture of the girl's head because I don't know, but can you tell by her can you figure out just by looking at the sweatshirt who she is?
I mean, Rich. I wouldn't know. Rich? So.
Yeah, Rich? I don't know who that is, but that's a fantastic shirt.
You don't recognize the necklace?
No, I don't.
Oh well.
Does she email the show? She emails the show, doesn't she? Does she email the show?
No, she's a wrestler. She's a valet.
Okay.
No, she's a valet at a show in Portland or somewhere.
It's not Tara Zepp, is it?
Who?
Does she have a lot of tattoos?
I don't know. That's a long time ago.
Oh,
she may have them now. I don't know. She didn't then.
Were you talking about somebody? I thought you were talking about somebody recent.
No, this is the last time I was in Portland, so it's probably 10 years ago. Let's see when that was. Hold on. That was 2010, so 13 years ago. And you don't know who she is? Some random valet from 13 years ago?
Nope, don't know.
How can you not? Mm-hmm. Did I tell you? Feeny, I guess I didn't tell you. Won $75, $76 on my UFC betting this weekend, last weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, I get paid. I only bet $5 because the card was shitty. Like, it was shitty as opposed, like, there wasn't a lot of underdogs worth betting on. Mm-hmm. So you had a stack. So I won a 7-man parlay and an 8-man parlay and won them both around $38 for one, $35 for the other. So whatever it was came out to $76 minus the $5 I paid in was $71. And I've looked at my betting. I've actually won the last 4 weeks.
Nice.
So I'm due to lose this weekend.
You can't win them all.
You can win them all, supposedly.
Nobody ever does.
Somebody does. The casino does.
Yeah, the casino does. One thing I wanted to mention, I should have mentioned earlier, but it's show related. If you're a listener of this show, which let's face it, you are because you're listening.
I'm not listening. I'm barely paying attention.
If you use, say, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict or whatever, I've learned that if you listen to this show via the Spreaker app or website, that the ads, the mid-rolls that we put in will be worth 10% more than if you listen on another provider. So if you do us that favor by listening on Spreaker, we could make a cool $55 more to split or something like that.
So what are the plans?
That kind of money. That's expensive. That's way too much. I don't want that much money.
What are the platforms again, Joe?
If you listen on Spreaker, because we are hosting.
Just listen on Spreaker is the point.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Spreaker been very, very good to me. That's Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, we're going to have to discuss the rates we're making on the after the show.
Okay.
Oh, what are our rankings in the world of podcast rankings? Are we the rankest? Oh, Disenchantment, the final season. I finally watched it. It just came out, so I just watched it, and now the series is over. I'm very sad.
Did it break your heart? Huh? Did you cry?
No, it was a baby face ending.
Mm. I finally saw the end of Schitt's Creek the other day.
Oh, it's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, real good.
I forgot how it ended. Don't tell me. I forget how all movies end. Like, it's my brain forgets it, so when I watch it again, I don't remember. Oh, I saw Indiana Jones, too.
Indiana Jones 2?
Yeah, Indiana Jones Jew.
Oh.
No, number 5. How about in the movie they go, apparently his kid's dead. Shia LaBeouf, they made sure he could never come back and be in Indiana Jones.
What a mess.
Is that great or what?
Speaking of scandalous actors, you know, Danny Masterson got sentenced to 30 years in prison today.
30 years. You know, yeah,
what do you think of that? What do you think of that? Do you think he really did it?
When I saw that pop up, I was first thinking, like, did he get arrested at the Capitol? Is he dead? Like, what? I never even realized that that he was under investigation for anything.
Yeah, he was arrested like 2-3 years ago. He's been out on bail. And the Scientologists have been threatening people on his behalf, allegedly. But yeah, it's 30 years for two alleged rapes. And then there's one assault, sexual assault, maybe. But the whole gist of it is like he would drug the girls and then, you know, take.
And Bill Cosby got off scot-free.
Yeah.
Not scot-free. He went to jail, but then he got off on a technicality and now he's out scot-free.
I mean, I'm not minimizing, because if you drug a woman and take advantage of her, you're a total piece of shit. But 30 years, when sometimes, you know, you could have a manslaughter and get out in 6 or 7 years.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Seems to me that's weird, you know. I think he deserves 30 years? Yeah, I think all rapists deserve 30 fucking years. But I think a lot of other crimes are underpunished. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
It's just me sounding like Rush Limbaugh.
Well, it's just, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to do that. But, I mean, but who knows? I don't know him. I just seen him on his TV show.
Yeah.
But on a TV show, he's a nice guy.
That young clique of actors, like of his age and that generation, a lot of those guys got in trouble. Like, who's the kid? Max Landis was like a young director, and he was kind of in that age group. And he didn't get arrested for rape or anything, but he was outed as being like the complete psycho abusive, you know, gaslighting type to any woman he ever dealt with. You know, he was just a jerk off. So, I mean.
He made a really good TV show, though, called Dirk Gently.
Okay.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. Great show.
I heard his dad dropped a helicopter on some kids or something.
I don't think he dropped it. I don't think he, like, he just held it in his hand and dropped it. I don't think he's Galactus's size.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? A Galactus callback. No, that was the nice. Galactus, not callback, a Galactus reference.
That was one hell of a reference for sure, yeah.
Okay, so what about where the rankings? Yeah, you can look at the ratings, yeah.
Well,
hey Rich, what about Feeney's a pussy in a riot shirt?
Oh yeah, huh? Pussy riot.
Instead of a pussy riot, he's a pussy in a riot shirt.
In a riot shirt, yeah.
That was an insult on Feeney. I didn't mean to say that. I feel bad now.
I hope just from wearing this shirt, I'm not gonna get sentenced to 30 years. Anyway. So Mexico were successful once again. We are the number 14th podcast in the wrestling category.
Who are the 13s ahead of us?
Let's see. Number one is called Lucha Libre Plus.
But that makes sense since they are Mexico.
Number two is Ultimo Hombre en Pi.
Pi like the mathematical number?
It just says PIA. Ultimo Hombre en Pi. Three is the Hispanic version of a UFC podcast. Fourth is Chris Van Vliet. Fifth is The New Day.
Who's
Sixth
Chris Van Vliet?
Pretty professional wrestling journalist type. He does good interviews, actually. You know, and I guess his podcast is pretty highly regarded, obviously. The New Day is fifth. Eric Bischoff is sixth. Chris Jericho, 7. Jim Ross, 8. A podcast called Smart Wrestling Fan is 9. The CMLL podcast, 10. What Culture Wrestling, 11. Jim Cornette, 12. John Pollock and Wei Ting are 13. And we are 14.
There's some heavy hitters.
How is it that we're 14 and Conan's podcast is 17? Conan's the biggest star in Mexico. I don't understand. What's happening?
Because we're a bigger star. Because he has disco. So he has an albatross around his neck.
And me too. So that's just two American white dudes dragging down your podcast, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but I got you dragging down my podcast. It's not affecting me that bad.
So we're beating Conan. We're beating Busted Open. That's good. We're beating
Busted Open.
It's like
Sirius XM, right?
Yeah.
Dreamer show.
Dreamer and Bubba and Mark Henry. And who's the host guy? Dave LaGreca.
Dave LaGreca. Yeah.
So. And we're beating Chael Sonnen, who's ranked in the wrestling rankings for some reason.
Wrestling includes MMA, I think.
And Sam Roberts. Yeah, I guess so. We're 28th in Norway.
The Norwegians have sentenced us to the back of the mid pack. We used to be in the top tier in Norway, didn't we? Know, were we number one there at one point?
Let's see, rank history. What is this? We were our highest ranking in Norway ever.
It was number one.
No, 14. Oh, actually, well, this only lists the last 2 months. I'm sorry.
So yeah.
Maybe we were at one point. I can't find another
chart. We were at one point. And if we weren't, I'm going to say we were.
I believe you. We're 31st in the Netherlands. We're 11th in Colombia. Once again, very high ranking in Colombia. 40th in Israel. 21st in Qatar. We're consistently highly ranked in Qatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're, you mean Qatar?
The next time Rich gets his commentary booking there, we should probably all go over for a live Raven Effect in Qatar.
Yes. Yep.
You know.
To Qatar or Qatar?
Both of them.
Qatar. Qatar. Got to roll your R a little bit. Qatar.
Hey, you don't roll your R.
You do.
You rolled the Q. Eyes. Qatar.
Qatar. Qatar. Yeah.
So what else? What about Ireland?
UK. We're not listed.
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry. In the UK, we're 105th.
Yeah, we're number 105.
Maybe the British don't, you know, there's a translation problem with senses of humor sometimes. So maybe, you know.
Maybe they don't speak Ravenese?
Maybe not. And we're currently 91st in the United States.
So we do better overseas, apparently.
Yeah.
What, 91st, about, like, 91st out of wrestling or just everything?
What about wrestling? Machu Picchu?
Rich is very disappointed.
Right? Like, hey, how are we not bigger than that?
I don't know.
How are we even close to what we are?
How are we not the 91st overall most popular podcast in America?
No. I mean,
that's what it should be.
Overall, we're like third.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you look at it, we're in here with such luminaries as the Turnbuckle Tavern, the Drunk Wrestling History Podcast, Chilling with Marty Scurll, the villain.
Mm.
Why can't I think of his name? Hornswoggle.
Oh, yeah.
Chilling with the Marty Villain Scurll guy? Who's he work for?
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
He's in Mexico.
Why is it a loaded question?
Because he's not probably going to get utilized in the States whatsoever.
Oh, that's right. He was a woke, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like a 16-year-old girl, and there was alcohol. But he was in England, where that is illegal age to consent, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
None of my fucking business. What do I know?
Yep.
But he's been working for AAA, and it's Conan's. Conan maintains that who the fuck is he to judge people, and he believes in second chances and all this. So occasionally.
Yeah, and at 16, it's legal in the UK.
Yeah, so I won, does he get any bookings in England, or did they cut him off too? I mean, I have no idea. But so Conan's like the AAA will give chances to guys like Marty Scurll and Alberto and stuff like that. Teddy,
you know, a lot of times I told you this before that when I was in Portland, I used to card women because I would get underage girls who wanted to hook up with me, and they looked 21, 22. You know, I was what was I in Portland? I was 90. I was 25 when I was in Portland. So, you know, girls are 21, that's fine, right? But you have girls that are like 16, 17 that look like they're 21, 22. And they have been, but they didn't have fake IDs though.
Right.
Because I would literally card women and then I'd be like, oh, you're too young, sorry. So half the time they'd go, oh, I don't have an ID, but I swear I'm of age. I'm like, no, go get an ID.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of rats in that territory.
Pull that BS on me. I never really, I know a lot of girls go, they do the older guy thing, but most of the girls that I ever like hooked up with or dated and stuff were pretty close to my age. I think the most I did was like, I was 25 and she was 19 or something. I guess that's creepy. I don't know.
Not really. No.
What about Winger? Winger's only hit when she's only 17.
Yeah. That would
yeah. Imagine all, think about all the underage girl songs.
And how clean cut Winger was too.
Yeah.
The fuck, the Beatles. I saw her standing there.
How old is the girl?
17, you know what I mean?
Gee,
I
wonder how long she was just 17, right?
Who'd you see standing where?
Okay, go ask Paul.
What's the Kiss song where he says, I'm 81 and you're 16 or something? Oh, God. They were talking about it on the podcast, since I can't remember. Christine's 16. That's what,
you know, I'm gonna say this out loud right here, and I'm gonna get a lot of people very angry at me, but Kiss fucking sucks. Kiss is the absolute fucking shit.
I wouldn't say that to Bubba Ray Dudley if I was you.
They got a lot of hit songs, Rich. Man, a lot more than Sunny Day Real Estate.
No.
I like their disco
record
song.
Sales don't equal fucking any kind of integrity. So
yeah. No, that's true.
Record sales equal a nice fucking stable real estate piece
horses,
of furniture.
Stables of horses and stable
relationships and stable economies and
stable relationships. Let's not get crazy.
Hey, you can like Kiss all you want. I'm telling you, I think they fucking suck. So
I like
it. Do they suck musically, or do they suck? How do they suck? Are they suck with their mouth, like on their on somebody's organs?
I think most of their
songs.
I think most of their songs are derivative crap.
Rich derivative of what? Derivative of their own stuff.
If that's the case, then AC/DC sucks too, Rich. Right. he's probably going to say that.
I don't mind.
Yeah, but you got to like Black Diamond and a million. The first Kiss Alive one, that was awesome.
No, they've got good sides. They're another one of those. To me, they're like a Led Zeppelin, just grossly overrated.
Zeppelin was not overrated. If anything, they're underrated now.
A lot of people call Zeppelin the greatest rock band of all time, and they are. So
they made 9 albums of 9 completely distinct sounds.
They're perfectly rated.
Well, they made more than 9. How many albums are they officially at now?
1, 2, 3, 4, Presence.
Houses of the Holy.
Houses of the Holy,
Physical Graffiti.
And In Through the Outdoor. And Coda.
So
I'm right. I think it's 9. 9 studio records.
But then there's also Unleaded.
Well, yeah, but that's just Jimmy and Robert Plant.
And Jimmy and Ray, I know. And they never did any greatest hit albums. They never did that. They never sold out like that, Rich.
What about the Honey Drippers?
Well, eventually they did.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, early Led Zeppelin. One was called Early Days and one was called Latter Days or something.
Oh, they had a ladder in their act?
I seen them in the jukebox.
Was it a ladder match?
Should have been.
No, but I'm saying, but they never made greatest hits albums. They never made they never made the song remains the same.
Well, that's a live album, you know?
Yeah, but it's also a movie.
Right. Yes, it is. Yeah, a very silly movie. But speaking of bands and rock stars and underage girls, good Lord.
What?
Yeah, the times they are different now.
Jimmy Page, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, their groupies were like 13, 14, 15.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like 18. No, that's like 12 today.
I just don't get, like, if you're, I don't know, if you're in your early 20s, mid 20s, like, why would you knowingly go after like a 14-year-old girl?
Because you don't know they're that age.
But I'm saying, if you knowingly, you're going to tell me that half those guys didn't fucking know what they were doing? They knew what they were doing.
Well, a lot of those girls would say, hey, I'm 16.
Like girls lie all the time about their age.
Yeah.
That's why I just told you a story about me having to bring check for fake IDs. I wasn't kidding about that.
Right.
I literally would card girls and they would be lying and they would just go, oh, I don't have a license.
Raven, you might have been a degenerate, but at least you had some integrity.
I'm an integritist degenerate.
He was integral to degeneracy.
That's right.
Plus, you were in Portland, so you learned from the lessons of, or maybe by that point, the ghost of Art Barr.
You know, I saw a thing in Details magazine where it had the legal age in every state. New Mexico, I don't know if they made a national law, but each state has their own legal age.
Right.
And at least it did. And New Mexico's was 13.
Really?
Back when I was in Portland.
Yikes.
All right. We're coming to the end of this shindig.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was instructed, Raven, to plug this and remind you that right now you have three, count them, three action figures available with the major Bendy's line of action figures. So somebody wanted me to plug that.
Yeah, get some action figures of me.
You have Bendy's. You have a regular major Bendy, a bloody one, and then a WCW variant. So a three Raven. Yep.
A WCW variant. I can't say that.
Yeah. Here, whoop. There you go.
They look just like, there's one up there. The master one's right up there. Look, right behind me. That square box.
Yeah.
It's hard to see what's in the box, but in the, let me get my finger up there. Right there is the Feeney. Look, Rich, there's the master right there.
First ever one produced, huh?
I don't know. I think so. Brian Myers gave it to me. Anyway, buy some of those. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Buy some Raven t-shirts and Feeney t-shirts. Don't ask for the Rich shirts because they don't have any yet. Poor Rich.
Yeah, and those Bendies are available at majorpodmerch.com. And the WCW one is available at Omega Level Toys. There you go.
There you go. Cameo.com. Go to cameo.com, get a Raven video shout out. You know, most people do this at the beginning of the show. We wait till the end till you're ready to just sign off and bore you with it. We don't open with the boring crap like this.
Right.
Go to AskDanna. That's Ask Dana. Google it. Take it to eBay page, and you can type in Raven and find my ring-worn merchandise, concert shirts, T-shirts, all kinds of crap. Fan mail is fanmail@theraveneffect.com. If you have addiction issues, get help. Addiction hotline, 800-662-4357. Addictionandrecovery.org for information. If you have any recommendations, Rich?
Nothing this week. I did nothing at all.
So it's typical week.
What are you talking about? I've given plenty of fantastic recommendations on this program.
Never mind then. Feeney, would you like to backtalk your boss?
I'll recommend.
Rich, can you see the show, or you just can't? We just can't see you.
I can see you guys. Yeah.
Did I recommend Murder Rap yet? Maybe I did.
No.
The Untold Story of the Biggie Smalls and Tupac.
Yes, maybe. Okay. You told us you were investigating it. You told us you were investigating it yourself. Yeah.
Well, now I'm reading the book that solves it. So there you go.
So who did it? Larry the Cable Guy?
Tupac was shot by some Crips, and Suge Knight took revenge and hired a blood to shoot Biggie. Easy peasy.
Is that really what happened?
Yes.
Says who?
Greg Kading and his investigation, his task force.
Whose task force?
He's got confessions, you know.
So Biggie's rat was murdered by Suge?
Suge hired a blood to do it, yeah.
And why did the Crips kill Tupac in the first place?
One reason was because Tupac beat up a Crip that night in the casino. And another reason was there was $1 million bounty on Tupac and Suge's heads. So they would like to collect that too, which they never did, but they did get.
Why didn't Suge and Tupac just reach up and grab the money?
Well, would you like to know who allegedly put the $1 million bounty over their heads?
Sure. Jimmy Fallon.
Puff Daddy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. Why?
Because he thought they were going to kill him.
Hmm.
Why was anybody going to kill anybody?
I don't know. Who knows? Well, in Puff's case, his bodyguard shot and killed Suge's bodyguard, and that started it all.
Wait, what?
Puff's bodyguard shot Suge Knight's bodyguard and killed him outside of a club in Atlanta.
Why?
And that was kind of that was the beginning of everything. I don't know. There was like a fight inside, and they all got kicked out. No one really knows. Everyone was facing this way. They heard some gunshots. They turned around, and the one bodyguard was on the ground.
Hmm.
So,
yeah, what if the guy shot himself and then fell down and threw the gun to the other guy, like the Eddie Guerrero spot?
Well, he messed up then because he shot himself way too good because he died.
Yeah, but then maybe that was part of his plan. Maybe he was suicidal, and he said, and he goes, "I'll take the. I'm going to screw everybody up. I'm going to shoot myself. The ref's not looking, and no one's looking, and kill myself because I feel really sad. And then I'm going to throw the gun before I die to the to my opposite number." And he's like, "Huh? What?" Mm.
Could be, but there's. You saw it in the news recently, the one guy who confessed to being in the car, he's the one that's implicated Puff with the bounty and shit. And they just raided his house. So there's potential there that there might be a very big news story in case if the cops or the feds decide to investigate Puff Daddy on this.
How'd the book come out so quick then if there's just new details?
No, the book's been out since 2013 or something.
So when did the details, I thought you said the details just came out.
No, well, they finally took action. People have known this for like 10 years and they finally raided this dude's house that confessed.
Yeah, but what, did they arrest him?
There's been no arrests. No.
So nothing's happened.
No, we're in the same place that we were, except everyone who read this book or saw the documentary or reads the paper kind of has an idea of what happened. It's been that way for a long time.
So is he also the guy that killed Kurt Cobain? Is that Courtney Love?
I never bought that. I'm pretty sure Kurt did it, you know?
Yeah. He said, "I need this job. Like I need a hole in the head."
Oh boy.
What? Too soon?
Kurt really went for it. He shot up like 3 or 4 times the heroin you can have in your bloodstream and then shot himself. Like he was making sure. He was making sure.
Yeah, apparently he had stomach problems.
That's the word.
Yep.
It's the word that you heard. It's got move, it's got meaning.
Stomach grease problems, drug problems.
Grease is the time, is the place, is the motion. And grease is the way we are feeling.
What do you think about Courtney Love? You think she's talented?
I don't know. I don't know her.
Musically, I mean, or...
I don't know. I see, you know what? That's the whole thing with music. Like, I couldn't tell you if anybody's a good musician. It's like trying to tell if wrestlers were good back in the 70s. Like, if they were a star, they were good. If they weren't a star, they weren't. That's all I can tell. I can't tell, you know, if somebody's more talented than somebody else in guitar other than, you know, Eddie Van Halen's really cool fret work was pretty impressive. But other than that, other than fancy modes like that, I can't tell the difference. Nobody can. Only real musicians can.
Popularity and being a star doesn't necessarily.
Popularity breeds contempt.
Yeah, but think about all the people that are selling records now, especially in rap. They all stink.
What is the, what song is that from? What album? What song? Popularity breeds contempt.
Neil Young.
No.
Led Zeppelin, In Through the Outdoor.
Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Culture Club.
I thought that was Wham.
No, Wham wasn't the Culture Club. The Culture Club was the Culture Club.
Hmm. That name stinks.
The Culture Club? Boy George?
You know?
What if Boy George sold Boy Howdy soda for a commercial?
Would you go see them, Raven?
Boy George?
Culture Club, yeah. They're touring this summer.
No. Wow. I wouldn't go see anybody.
You know who's not touring?
I'm
Wham.
Too lazy.
Oh, boy. Wham. Feeny, come on. What's
wrong? You know, because the guy's dead. George Michael, remember?
What's wrong with you?
Whatever happened to Andrew Ridgely?
What happened to you, Joe? What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Many things. So
you got hurt like Andrew Ridgely got hurt.
Who the hell's Andrew Ridgely?
Andrew Ridgely, one half for Wham.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know it was a twosome.
Wait, what's the name?
He just went on to lead a quiet life.
He went on to lead a quiet life.
George Michael or Andrew Ridgely?
George Michael's life wasn't quite so quiet.
No.
He's super quiet right now.
Well, yeah, it's super quiet. It depends if anybody's in the cemetery.
Oh, come on now.
Causing a racket.
Depends how crowded hell is.
George Michael was just too good looking. That's the problem.
You think so?
He was so good looking.
No.
Like he was so good looking that chicks were, that he was just like, I can have any chick I want. I might as well try guys.
I feel like if he didn't have stubble and he didn't have stylist to do the hair. Like, if he had a regular haircut and no beard, he would just look like any other schlub.
No, he was good looking. Well, I don't know. I thought he was hot.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I like pancreas to pancreas. Easy for me to say.
Pancakes?
I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something, but I couldn't spit it out. I like Jock Itch. I was trying to get Jock Itch out. It's like Chuck Barris. He goes, I like this next act. He goes, but then again, I like Jock Itch. That's what I was trying to get at, but I don't know why pancreas came out. Times are tough. I've said that a couple times today, but times really are tough for a lot of people.
Especially with the
heat. When are they going to do the Star Trek thing and make and have all like no more money?
Oh, well, we're not going to have any more money now that Biden canceled all the oil leases and we're going to pay $9 a gallon. Never mind. I'm buying a Tesla. That's all I'm
crickets.
Saying.
Crickets.
You would support that fucking dummy, wouldn't you?
No, I just don't want to pay $9 a gallon of gas, Rich. What does that make me, a bad guy?
No, Scott Hall was the bad guy.
Yeah, he was.
Now, see, there you go. That's your sound box finally using the correct fashion. All right. So peace, love, and popularity breeds contempt. Do you really want to hurt me?
She got
Do you really want to make
me? Yes.
What about the other Culture Club song? I can tell, by the way, I use my wok. I'm a Chinese cook. Hey, Jim, there's Spock. No, that wasn't the other
Karma, hey, karma. That's the beat.
You just made that up.
It was karma Gia.
It was Karma Chameleon. And then there was
Miss Me Blind. I like Miss Me Blind.
Do you really want to hurt
me? I know you miss me. I know you miss me blind. Did you ever see their Behind the Music?
I did not.
Well, he claims
a long time
George
ago.
George claims he was sleeping with the drummer. He goes, Paul's a liar.
He's a liar.
Because Paul wouldn't admit to it. He wouldn't admit to having an affair with George Michael. I mean, with George O'Dowd or whatever his name is, Boy George. And he goes, Paul's a liar. That was what I got from it. Say that to Jericho. See if he remembers that. We used to laugh about it. All right, so quote the Raven, nevermore, the end, go to bed.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.